So they know that that smiling woman in the head in with a headset does not really work in your office.
That's exactly what that was too.
Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom, the Digital Architect Liebel. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Hey there, listener. If you're here and I'm here, it means we survived another week and it's Wednesday morning. This is session number 8 of the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast. Today, you will find out what the second most important page on your website is, how to quickly improve it, and what types of results you can get from doing so. Rob Dix is with us, and he can't wait to get started, so let's do it. Well, the first thing I want to know is, why did you even get into the About Us Pages business? Like, what made you get into that?
We got into it because, basically, for background, like, our company is called Mortified Cow. We do brand consulting and copywriting, and we got into specializing in boring companies, like, because we like the challenge of kind of taking someone like an accountant or something else who's an industry you think is really boring and finding the angle, finding something to make it stand out and make it fun. And we found that even in these really boring businesses, the people behind them would normally have really interesting stories and there'd be a lot to say. And we found that when we started pulling those stories out of them, it made everything way more exciting. They made more money. Everyone was happy. And so we found that we had a lot of people coming to us who wanted to kind of get their entire site rewritten, but they couldn't afford it. Or they wanted to start out with something smaller as a test before they went ahead and did the whole thing. And it's like, well, the about page is the most important page on the site other than the homepage. Page, but no one realizes it. So if you're going to do just one page, that is the one to do. It's going to get you the biggest difference. So we kind of did this spin-off site called Undullify Me, which just writes about pages. And it's a really kind of easy, low commitment way for someone to get some work done by us and make the biggest difference it possibly can.
Is there a study or anything that you can give us a link to that shows that the About Us page is one of the most important pages on the site?
Yeah, I'll give you pull out a couple of links for you to put in the show notes. But as well as that, I would encourage anyone to just go and look at their own analytics. You'll be probably really surprised by the kind of traffic your about page gets. It's probably going to be one of the top 3 pages in your entire site. That's been the case for pretty much every site we've ever worked on.
Most people will just think, like, really? About Us page? You know, they will like to think that it's the services page or the product page.
Mm-hmm.
But it's usually not. And that's the same thing I've noticed in my business. And that's why I got you on this interview. My About Us page gets the most views other than the home page. However, it was the last thing I wrote. And it does suck. Kind of just talks about when the business started and kind of how great we are and things like that.
Yeah.
But I'm rewriting everything now.
Yeah, it's always the afterthought page. And no one ever goes back to it. And it's most people probably haven't looked at their own about page for over a year, and they'd be kind of surprised when go, oh, this is all really out of date if they actually looked at it. I think the reason why it makes a big difference and why everyone wants it to be the services page, but it's not, is that there are a lot of industries where everything looks kind of the same. Like, say you want to hire an SEO company or something, you'll probably find that they're making the same kind of promises as talking about the same kind of benefits. The way people research stuff, or the way I research things, is if I want to hire a company, I'll open 10 different browser tabs, all with companies who have come up in search or something. So, like, imagine that your company is open in one tab and then you've got 10 competitors next to you and people are going through and they're finding that everything is just looking the same. When they're looking at the products and everything else, it's the same promises and everything else. But the about page is where there's the potential for differentiation. And that's why it's so powerful, because people are kind of going there looking for something to cling on to just like, tell me something that I can use to make a decision about this. And that's where if you have an about page that really stands out and grabs them, you can have a big advantage over all the other guys who are saying the same old guff about, we've been in business since this year and we have this many employees and no one cares.
Yeah, and it's scary because I got that vision right now. And I have people calling me sometimes and they're like, whoa, I'm just calling around all the SEO companies on the first page of Google. Well, yeah, I get that. But now when I think about how they researched it and how they had my tab open with 9 other guys, and when I think about my About Us page and how bad it is and there's no real difference, I'm like, man, I am leaving a lot on the table.
Yeah, exactly. And And when it's done well, it's really powerful, because it means that when someone does phone you, they already know a lot about you and they've got a sense of what your story is and what you stand for and everything else. And so, like, we've done these sites for, like, we did one for a realtor, and he said that when he started going out and doing appraisals and going to people in the homes, when he'd show up, they'd say to him, "Oh yeah, I read your story. It's really interesting how you did this, and I liked how you said that." So by the time he's walking through the door, that his about page has already done all that work for him. So there's already that kind of, there's something to talk about, there's some trust there, and that's something that most people just don't have. And so it's just that kind of opportunity. It kind of warms the cold call, I guess.
I've actually heard someone tell me that everyone should have at least a 2-minute video of themselves on the About Us page talking to the customer just to get that report going. What do you think about that?
If you can have mixed media on there, if you can have video and text, I think that's a definite benefit, because there are some people who like to read, some people who like to watch. If you can serve both of those, that's great. And of course, if you're comfortable on video, then you can get yourself across possibly better than you can in writing. If you're super awkward, then it's better to have no video at all. But if you can do it, I think that's great. Like, the same goes for the length of the copy. Like, I don't think there's anything wrong with having a lot of copy if there's a lot to say and every word is working. Like, we've done pages for people which are 900 words long, which sounds insane, but people do read the entire thing if it's written as in a compelling way and it's telling a story. There's no reason not to have that. So I'd say having as long as it needs to be, having a really comprehensive load of text and having a video on there, that's great. That's the ultimate if you can do that.
You mentioned the word story a lot of the times. Can you kind of explain, what do you mean by a story when it comes to an accountant?
You might be an accountant, but there must be a reason you got into it in the first place. And there must be something that you're trying to achieve through it. And if not, then it's probably a good idea to make something up pretty quick, because people want to have a sense of why you're doing it. Just like some kind of, like, most people have an interesting story about how they got into something and how the company's evolved over time. It doesn't have to be the world's greatest story, but I think people just kind of want to know how it started. They want to get the human side. That's where things fall short a lot of the time, because you get all the kind of, you get the facts. And so you get, we started in this year, we have this many employees, we won this award that you've never heard of, but you never really got into, like, okay, well, but of all the possible things you could do in the world, you've chosen to do this one thing. Why? So tell that story and also talk about how your customers are benefiting from the fact that you're doing this thing. What is it that you're doing for them? You're not just an accountant. You are someone who stops small business owners from having to be up until, like, 1 minute before midnight on tax deadline day trying to submit all their forms. Or you're the guy who saves Fortune 100s from saving millions more than they need to. That's like, what is it specifically that you do? And there's a story behind that as well.
So it's almost like having a unique selling proposition, except in story form.
Yeah, exactly. There's nothing new about that. Everyone knows that they're meant to have a USP, but I think when you come to the about page, it becomes very obvious if you do have one or not. If you find yourself just rambling on about stuff, it might be that you're not sufficiently clear about what it is that you do and who it is that you're for. But then there's also scope in that story for seemingly really irrelevant stuff. So, like, how the business started or how you got into it is broadly of no real relevance to anyone. It's not going to tell you about the result that you're going to get for them, but it is still kind of interesting because it's about you as a person, if you're the business owner. And ultimately, people buy from people. And I think the mistake that people make is they try to sound really corporate and sound professional, in inverted commas. And that's just a huge turnoff, because no one can relate to that. Even if people are buying something which is kind of a serious, commoditized, not all that sexy service, people still want to buy that from a real person and have a sense of who that person is.
That makes sense. I think there's a saying, build relationships first and make a sale later, right? People buy from people who they trust and people they relate to. Maybe giving non-relevant information, like a story, you help build that rapport. You don't necessarily want to sell anyone on that page. That's what I'm seeing so far from what you said.
Yeah, I think that's totally true. Building that relationship and personality, getting that personality across, it's a great place to do that. Being relatable, I think you said about being able to relate to people. I think that's really important, and using informal language. So if you kind of write it as you would talk it, then that gets your personality across and it makes it easier to you. Setting up a common enemy is a good thing to do as well in certain industries. So, like, I feel like in the US, there's a lot of prestige attached to being a realtor, and in the UK, there's not. A lot of people have really bad experiences and they just hate the whole thing and they'd rather not work with one at all if they could help it. And so you can kind of set up that kind of common enemy and kind of show and show that you get it. And so one guy we worked with, we talked about his experiences working within other companies before he set up his own and all the things that he hated about having that he had to do when he worked in those companies. Because then the person reading it is nodding along going, yeah, I hate it when they do that. This guy hates it as well. He gets it. He's different. Let's give him a call.
A lot of the business owners, they don't know how to write well. If you tell someone to sit down and write a story, that's a really hard thing to do. It would help if there's like a template, because a story has an introduction, then it has maybe some conflict, some excitement, and then it's got to wrap itself up. Like there are steps, right, in each story. Screenwriters, they don't start writing something freehand, right? They know the twists and turns and all the things that should be in there. So can you kind of maybe give some advice on that?
Yeah, it's a tough one. I think people find it really hard to write about themselves. Even people who are quite confident writers find it hard to write about themselves because they're too close to the subject. And it's really hard to know what it is that's going to be interesting to someone else. So I think where it has a value working with someone like us is that we sort of normally talk to people for about an hour. We far prefer to do it on the phone or in person than over email, because a lot of the time someone will just make an offhand comment and that will be the angle. Or something that they just don't think is important at all, and they hardly mention it. There's like, oh, hang on, what's that? That's really interesting. And so it's really hard to have that perspective when you're doing it on your own. But if you are doing it on your own, then if you go to our site, which is undullified.me, you can sign up on there to get some annotated examples of sites of pages that we've written. And so we've actually gone through line by line and said what we've done and why we've done it. And that might be quite useful because you can try and fit your own thing into the same structure. For example, a common thing that we always do is try to start with something unexpected. So again, it's a classic thing that because everyone else's pages are so bad, it makes your life much easier if you can establish early that this is going to be something different. So people kind of hit that page with an expectation of what they're going to see. And if you can give them something different and you can violate that expectation, then that's great because you've got their attention. So you can either start with a question, which is always great. So it's something that people are going to want to know the answer to. Or this is kind of the benefit of kind of starting with something unrelated that you wouldn't expect to have on that page. It's like you kind of pull people into that story and then you can keep them the whole way through. That's not the whole template, but that's the start. That's a good way to start. Other than that, it's kind of hard to say what the structure would be. We've talked about kind of setting up the common enemy, talked about having some kind of background in there, even if it doesn't seem to be strictly relevant. But I think like looking at the past examples that we've annotated, it's probably quite a good way to get a sense of the kind of thing you want to be doing. And then if possible, if you're struggling, then just talk to a friend about your story and kind of see what questions they ask you. Try and talk to someone who doesn't really know what it is that you do or kind of knows a little bit about your company, but doesn't know the background behind it. Get them to repeat back to you at the end what the key things are that they've taken away from it. Because then the things that they've latched onto and that they've found interesting are things that you're going to want to incorporate into the page.
I really like that idea too. So initially you want to open up the loop. So by opening that up, you're kind of like, well, now I really need to read this. Like something's making me want to read this to figure out what he's talking about.
Yeah, you want to resolve that tension, don't you? And so trying to think of an example of one we did, there was something where it's just the first line was something like, it all started with a fax. Oh, well, what all started with a fax? What is all this? And then that sort of story resolves a few paragraphs in. And by the time you've read paragraphs 1, 2, and 3, you're probably going to stick around for the rest. And so it's at that point that you can start getting a little bit more into exactly what it is that this company does and what makes it different.
What are some of the things that you think people should and shouldn't do on their About Us pages? Let's start with the should.
A lot of this we've gone over already, but if I'm going to pick the essentials, then the first one is like breaking down what you actually do. So it's similar to having the USP. You don't provide SEO solutions. You help people get traffic from Google or whatever it is. You really break down exactly the actual benefit that people are getting from it. We've talked about grabbing attention by sort of doing something unexpected right at the start and building that curiosity. We've talked about kind of building a human story. A lot of time, people's default decision when they're making a buying decision is price. If they don't know how to differentiate between a few different things, the price is the obvious one to choose. But if you can build up enough of a relationship and they feel like you are the guy that they want to buy from, then price becomes almost irrelevant at that point. So there's a real power in doing that. And being able to do that in a way that kind of gets your personality across is really powerful as well. The other thing that we maybe haven't touched on so much is giving specific examples. So the classic thing that you see is like all the jargon. So people, almost everyone will say they've got a passion for customer service. It's like, well, what the hell does that even mean? If that's true, then give an example of where your customer service has been really outstanding in some way. And if it's not true, don't say it. Also, it goes for the kind of clients that you work with. So people will say that they work with everyone from local businesses to Fortune 100s or something. And it's just so broad that it doesn't really mean anything. So get specific. Like maybe you're not allowed to say the name of the actual company or something, but describe the company that you worked with. Describe their situation before they work with you and describe their situation after and how you help them. That specificity, I think, is really important. Where things get really boring and generic and nothingy is when people just talk in generalities the whole way through.
I think that's what most of us do. You know, everyone in SEO, I think, is a number one service provider.
Yeah, but that's impossible, of course, but like for 99% of people. And it's like, and what does that mean anyway? If I was working with a number one service provider, how would that be different from if I was working with number 100? So like, tell me what that difference is in a specific way.
Yeah, but the problem is now when I see someone opening up 10 tabs and seeing that they're going to call 10 number one service providers, it's like, I think it kind of equals out, right? At that point in that person's head, no one's number one anymore.
Exactly. Especially in something like SEO, I feel like there's so much skepticism around it that if you're just kind of giving it the same old stuff as everyone else, then I don't know if people are even reading that, because like you filter out all those kind of claims and those buzzwords so quickly. But that's great news, because if that's the industry you're in, then it makes it so easy for you to do something a bit different and stand apart.
I think so. I actually looked over the top 10 in my area, and no one really puts their face on the About Us page. So right there, I found that's probably an easy win for me. Everyone has the same jargon, right? Everyone's offering solutions, number one this, number one that, and everyone just talks about themselves. And no one has a video on there, right? So it just seems like those are easy wins for me. But at the same time, before someone does write an About Us page, I kind of want you to tell us like what we shouldn't do that we might be thinking of doing, even though we think a story is a good idea or, you know.
Well, one of them you've just said, like jargon is the real no-no, and like solutions is the absolute classic. Everyone says that they provide solutions, but like, what does that mean? It kind of ties into the be specific point that we talked about a minute ago. It's like, don't just say that you're a provider of solutions, because that means absolutely nothing. Talk about what those solutions are. So if you've got anything that you've written, just like go through and find all the jargon. Most of the time, actually, I find that people use jargon because it's a way of getting around the fact that they don't really know what it is that they want to say. It's kind of a really easy get-out card. For every piece of jargon, just cross it out. Think about what you actually want to say and say that instead. Tied to that is empty statements. And so anything, that's probably where you get things like having a passion for customer service or being results-driven, things like that. It's like anything where you don't really know what it means, but you've just kind of put it in because you've read it somewhere else. And anything which everyone else says, that can just come straight out. Because if everyone else is saying it, then people will be blind to it by the time they find you anyway. It's zeroing in on what it is that's interesting to other people. Obviously, you've got to talk about yourself. That's kind of the whole point of it. But I feel like a lot of the time, people don't have a good sense of what's kind of interesting talking about yourself and what's not interesting talking about yourself. So people just kind of use it as an opportunity to kind of drone on and on and on in a really self-serving way. So it will just kind of be showing off about stuff that no one really cares about, or just like not having a sense of what people will find interesting at all. Like I found there was one site I found where they were talking about the parking situation outside their office, and they were talking about, and they said, and you can come and visit us and it's really easy to park except on Tuesdays when this happens. Like, what? It's like, that should be really clearly not interesting, but people just kind of lose focus on that. And I think that's where the exercise comes in, where you kind of talk to someone else about it.
Yeah, but I can understand the parking situation, especially if someone's in Manhattan and they tell you, well, on Tuesdays between 2 and 4 you can get parking. You know, that's a big benefit to people right there.
maybe it depends on your location. I don't know.
But you have done a lot of these for clients, right? Have you noticed the type of increases in conversion or the actual measurable benefits of fixing up someone's About Us page? Because I'm curious about that too.
Yeah, it's not always easy to measure. Like the thing that you can, we've done a few where you can like check the exit rate from the page, and that dramatically falls, which kind of implies that people kind of do what I've just been describing. It implies that people kind of go to a site, go, oh, I don't know, look at the about page, and if they can't find something to cling on to there, they'll just leave. So it implies that if you've got something which is more engaging, then people will go from that into the rest of the site. And that's another thing which I should have mentioned earlier. At the bottom of the page, give them something to do, give a next step. So it could be like a, and now go and look at our products, or now go and check out this blog post that we wrote about something, or whatever. But you should always have a next step so people get to the end of the page and know what they should be doing next. The data shows that that seems to be what people are doing. You can look at the time on the page as well. We see people spending a really long time on the pages. That implies that the long ones, people are actually reading them. And so having a large amount of text isn't putting them off. For a lot of the people that we work with, trying to get conversions from it is quite difficult because often the conversion happens offline. But I'm almost completely convinced that you're going to see higher conversions from people who've read that page versus people who haven't. We've definitely seen data that shows that it has an impact. But for me, the really telling thing is what I mentioned earlier about when people will actually call up and refer to it. That's pretty cool. Like the fact that people will kind of read your story and be interested enough that they'll call you up and want to talk to you more about it. Or I mean, that really shows that it's working.
If I did a video and put a story on there, what should I talk about in the video, in your opinion?
Talk the most directly about what it is that makes you different from other people and the benefit that the customer will get as a result. So the video isn't the place to kind of go, when I was a kid, I was really interested in this and blah, blah, blah. I think that's something that can come later. If you've just got kind of a 2-minute video, then again, it depends on the industry that you're in, but say if you were in SEO, you'd probably assume that people come to you knowing what SEO is and having some kind of preconceptions. You're probably not the first encounter that they've had with that industry. So you don't have to explain the benefits of SEO. You can talk about your approach, what it is that makes it different. So you could talk maybe briefly about how you arrived at that approach, bring the common enemy kind of thing into it as well. So if you think that there's a good chance that they've had bad experiences with this company before, then the video is a good place to be talking about that. These guys are doing bad practices and they're ripping people off and you're doing it right. Chances are you're going to get really passionate about that and you're going to get head up and that's going to come across in the video. That's probably the kind of thing that you want to be doing right there. Whatever it is that's going to kind of give you the chance to talk in the most authentic way about what you do.
Yeah, I can see that. This is for any industry, bringing up the most common objections yourself before the client brings them up to you. Because once you put all those on the table, it's more of just like, well, do I just call this guy or not? Because this is the exact objections I have. And you know these by dealing with the customers. Like, you know what every customer pretty much says and the points where they kind of want answers. So I can definitely see a video being for that. Another part is images. What kind of an image or two should you have on there? Obviously one of yourself, right? But should you have one in the office, of the outside of the office? Like, what do you recommend for images on the About Us page?
It really depends. And so you completely rightly say that the one of you is absolutely non-negotiable, big at the top, in some kind of appropriate setting, but you don't want just like a what looks like a professional headshot. You want something that kind of gets across your personality without being cheesy, I suppose. Other than that, it depends what it is that you've got to emphasize. Like having a shot of the outside of your office building, if it looks like any building in the world, is probably not going to add anything. But if you've got a really, really amazing office, then maybe that's something you want to show off. So like you'll often find that digital agencies, creative agencies tend to have kind of wacky offices and they want to show those off, and that's fine. Or it could just be kind of just things for general kind of color. So the SEO example is a tough one because it doesn't look like anything. But then there are things like we did one for a chef. So obviously he wanted to show off his food and things like that. The only thing that you definitely do not want is stock photos. If you have one photo of you and nothing else, that's totally fine. You do not want to have one photo of you and five crappy stock photos. That gives people the impression that, even without reading the words, that they kind of feel like, I've seen this image before. It's really generic. The words are probably going to be really generic. I'm not going to bother reading it.
Yeah, the scary thing is I had one on my old website and I've had someone bring that up to me. It's like, hey, I looked on your About Us page and I've seen that picture before.
Yeah, I don't understand why anyone does it. It's just, I can't see how it can ever be a good thing. So they know that that smiling woman in the head in with a headset does not really work in your office.
That's exactly what that was too. But the, you know, the About Us page, I always thought is like really an afterthought. It's just got to be on there, right?
Yeah.
Well, what do I do? Just tell people how to call me on there? Like, you know, I had no idea what that really meant, About Us page. But you know, I'm seeing the path now. And on the revised website, we actually worked on the About Us page a little bit more. But after this conversation, I'm still going to look back at it even more closely.
People labor away forever on their homepage. People will obsess about that for weeks and weeks and weeks. And then the About page is probably the second most viewed page. And yet it gets no thought at all. It, like, logically, if you're working your way down the list of most important pages, that should be the one that you put the second most amount of time and resources into. Really. And it is a sales page. Like, you're not going to be doing any overt selling on there, but by telling your story and everything else, it is a sales page and it will function as one. It's just not what you might think of as a sales page.
All right, Rob, where can people find you?
The most relevant place, well, there's overall business is Mortified Cow. That's mortifiedcow.com. But the spin-off specifically for what everything we've been talking about is Undullify Me, which is undullify.me. And if people sign up on there, then we'll send them a PDF with top five do's and don'ts and the annotated examples that I was talking about. So I think that's probably the best place to go.
Awesome. Thank you again.
Pleasure. Great talking to you.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please help out by leaving a review on iTunes and don't forget to hit the subscribe button. If you have any questions, hit me up in the comments on smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.